Hey there.
Hi, James. How are you?
Doing well yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to see you.
Great.
I am just gonna do a little test of audio for 1 second. So if you could just say your name for me.
James Decker.
All right, let me see if that works.
Ooh.
Okay, well,
Right.
that did not work. So, on to plan B.
Doesn't work either. You can hear me though, correct?
I can definitely hear you for some reason. My backup software is not working, so I'm starting my other backup software now. So it's loading, and as soon as that gets going, we can start.
Okay. How you doing? Everything good?
I am good. I am going through a lot of the same stuff you're going through, because I'm also a teacher.
Bless your heart.
Okay. And yeah, suddenly had to switch to online teaching.
Yeah.
And but it's going pretty well. I mean, I listened to your first interview and I know that you said you were getting burnt out on classroom teaching, and that is exactly how I had been feeling. And so for me, this was kind of a nice change.
I
I'm
agree.
like, okay, I can still do it. I don't have to be in the classroom. That's pretty good.
There's definitely a lot more autonomy, and I believe that there's a lot more possibility with this particular medium, and that's why I'm thoroughly excited about it. I mean, I was able to go to Mexico for 2 weeks and still teach.
Oh man. You did it. 'Cause you were talking about
Yeah, I did.
that.
It was
Where
awesome.
did you go?
Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, nice.
And honestly, Mexico is taking COVID 10 times more serious than we are. I could
Really?
tell you thing after thing after thing that would leave you jaw dropped. You'd be like, really? I'll just give you the best part. So in some of the high-end restaurants, when you walk in, they have this box. It's like a cubicle. And it's like, think of like Doctor Who. And you walk into it and it sanitizes you for 30
Oh
seconds.
my
It's
God.
get
That's
out of
wild.
they sanitize you. You walk into a place, they sanitize you. You have to have masks on everywhere. And
Wow.
taking it really serious, even the small towns like Sayulita and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it was dope in that regard. And more importantly, being able to work abroad. Yes, please.
I did it too. But I didn't go out of the country, but I went to the East Coast, because I'm in San Francisco, and
Right on.
I went to Cape Cod for a week, and yeah, it was awesome. And I was in New York with my mom for 2.5 months, actually. And I
Oh,
just
that's
got back here.
amazing.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But listen, let me get the official intro going.
Oh, yeah,
All
sorry.
right. So today is Thursday, November 19th, 2020. And I am Steve Zetlin in San Francisco, and I'm interviewing James Decker, who's near Portland, Oregon. And this interview is part of the Oral History Summer School Education Narratives Project. And our goal is to find out how the pandemic has impacted teachers. And let's see, to start us off, James, could you describe the physical space that you were in before the pandemic hit, like your teaching space? And now, maybe, what is your workspace like?
All right. Well, I'll start off with the workspace before, which was a more brick and mortar classroom. I think my room was a little bit bigger than some, smaller than others. It was a project-based classroom, so lots of different project-based things in there for the kids to be able to utilize. And I would say that the size and volume of my work environment was much, much, much larger than it is currently. What it is now is what you see behind me. This is one of the rooms I teach in.
And well, since the people who will be listening to this won't be able to see it, can you describe it?
I appreciate that, Stephen. Yeah. So my environment would be like, think of your living room or your dining room, you're sitting at your kitchen table and whatever's behind you, that's what's showing. And so that's essentially where I'm at. So whatever your environment is, whatever you have behind you, and let's say your kitchen or your living room, or like where Steven's sitting in his living room, or in his kitchen as well, or dining room, excuse me. We're basically in that same environment. And I know some teachers I work with are in like their bedrooms or in an office if they have one, a study. I can't actually do that in my study because it's full of wine. Don't hate. Come on over. We'll take care of biz. Point being, I'm cool with this work environment. In fact, I love it. My commute's the greatest commute ever. It's right. Literally seconds. I have more time. I don't know. I could go into so many great things about my work environment currently right now, but that's probably not where you want to direct me. So I'll let you continue on with where you want me to go.
No, go for it.
Oh, it sounds like
you're excited about it. I mean, and part of this is about the change that this pandemic brought to us, right? Some are bad, some are good.
Yeah,
you're go right. for it. Talk.
So I'll just start with the journey, the beginning. So if you're listening, and I think all of us probably can really appreciate this September. September 2020 was the year of, for me, the year of Canvas. And Canvas is the platform in which we're teaching from, which is not in any way, shape, or form user-friendly. It is incredibly difficult. It is incredibly hard to understand and navigate, especially when you're being given in services the day before the person learned what they're teaching you. So it's the blind leading the blind. It was really, really difficult. And that's from my district, and many of you may deal with Canvas. Other of you may be using platforms, again, that are completely outside your realm of understanding, that makes sense, that go within the intrinsic things that you're used to doing as a teacher. And so I realized very quickly that I could either swim or sink, and I decided I wanted to swim. So I took the things that I'm really good at as a teacher, and I used those to get me going. And then the areas where I struggled, I asked for help. And you know, one of the greatest things about being a teacher, and Stephen, I'm sure you probably know this, and anybody that's listening to this knows this, teachers, we are a community. We steal, we share, we do as much as we can to help one another, because we know in the end result is the kids are going to benefit from it. And so as a result, that's basically what I did. I stole and shared and learned and helped people, and those people helped me with the technological aspects of things like cross-listing.
Explain.
Oh, cross-listing is a wonderful component of Canvas. And what you have to do is you have to do a series of steps, a number of them, to take your classes from your gradebook, which in this case would be, for me, Synergy, into the Canvas, and then have it cross-list so that your kids correspond in both platforms. Now, there's a series of steps that you do, and you do one step wrong, you're doomed. You have to start all over again. And unfortunately, that is one of many aspects of, you know, the platform that I'm currently using. So it's not necessarily user-friendly. Some people get it. It's easy. It's intrinsic because that's how their minds work. I know that for the majority of my coworkers, this has not been something that's been an easy grasp. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I heard a couple of my colleagues had nervous breakdowns. They just weren't able to sustain themselves in this capacity. Technology is too hard for them to utilize. They are not understanding the platform. They are still struggling with Zoom. They're struggling with having the kids be able to access their class and how to be able to get the kids to access what they're doing. Yeah. As a result, those kids are missing out on their education, and those teachers are feeling horrific about themselves.
Right.
We have created a huge little issue right within that capacity. And that's something we can talk about in a minute. But then we also have the people who get it. And those are like, I don't think there are as many as the other group I was just referring to. And they're going and they're good. And then there's people like myself who got lots of it, but still parts of it that aren't coming together, but I've got the help I need. So now I'm flourishing. I think that the biggest thing that I've heard over and over again in the last couple of weeks is that people are hitting their stride. Mm. And luckily for me, I hit my stride on day one.
Mm. You know, I'm interested in something you said before about the community that is teachers. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about, was there any kind of shift in the community you had before and the community that developed once you had to change it, the way everything is done?
Again, a great question. I think all of us can probably appreciate this. Clearly, there's a gigantic difference from being in a school setting where you're seeing your colleagues on a day-to-day basis, or some of them every other day, or whatever the case may be. Having that human interaction, that right there is significantly different. I would say that I've gone into my old school a couple times because I'm having to move things out slowly but surely because kids aren't still able to come in Oregon. So I've been fortunate to be able to take my time and get the multitude of massive amounts of things out of my classroom and get it ready for the next teacher that eventually takes it over. But being in there, it's even different. Like everything, like when I first walked in September, it was surreal. It was literally like walking into a mausoleum. Like whatever happened, think of like Pompeii. Mm. You know, when you uncovered everything, it was exactly as it left, as it was left. And that's my classroom. Like literally all my posters were still on the wall. My kids' stuff was like, I had projects still being worked on in my classroom. Mm. It was like nothing had happened, but yet everything had happened. And so as a result, that was really weird and it was bizarre, and walking in and just looking around going, oh yeah, I forgot about this place. That's how quickly it happened. Right. Literally 3 months.
What are your, as teachers, we often do much of our work alone, except when we're with the kids, right? Or whoever our students are. And I'm wondering how that has changed. I mean, a lot of people go from environments where they work with people all day long, in terms of maybe prepping or learning the new technologies, the different apps that you're using, integrating with Canvas. What has the relationship been like with other teachers? What has your role been?
Well, because this is my 20th year plus now of teaching, and because I guess I do have a reputation of like being a decent teacher and someone that I've had lots of student teachers, and so I can work with other people, I've been in some way a go-to. I'm a team leader for my particular department. But at the same time, like, I also believe that there's so much I don't know that I'm more than willing to be able to share that role. And anybody that's able to help out, whatever capacity it is, I'm happy to take my hat off and give it to them and take that role of learner. I do believe that one of the things that has taken place is that you don't have that physical aspect of it things anymore. Mm. Like, you know, again, you could sit next to somebody and you get that nonverbal energy. You can tell it's somebody's agreement, not agreement, and you can delve deeper into that. But online, it's a little more difficult to be able to have that human aspect of it because you don't see the full body motions. You don't see those nonverbal things. And so I think that's a little bit different, but at the same time, I don't think it's changed a ton either, because like, I know my teaching partner and the IMs that I work with and some of the other teachers that I have the occasion to work with when I'm not obviously doing my job, I wouldn't say that's much different other than the fact that we just don't see each other unless like we make plans to meet up in a safe outdoor area, which we have done a few times, because you gotta be human. You gotta be human. You gotta see your friends, but you gotta do it responsibly.
So when you got together, was that like because you needed to work on some stuff, or is just like, we need to hang out with each other, I need to see you
then. We need to see each other, we need to be human again. And luckily for me, like this whole time, it's about following science. And so if you're making good choices and you're doing the smart things, distancing, wearing your masks when you need to, all that sort of thing, I mean, again, I think that if you do that, you're good. Granted, you know, things are still very fluid and we have to kind of go within that fluidity. But up until this point, I've been doing my best to be able to maintain some social aspects of things, but also maintaining that distance. Meaning that in this case, there was about 15 of us that got together, which may sound like a large number, especially right now. But we were on it in an outside area, you know, probably 300 square feet. So, I mean, it wasn't like a huge deal. But again, to be able to see each other and to be able to even have like a fist bump or an elbow bump, it's just that tactile aspect of it. It's about, I don't know, again, being human.
Do your students talk about missing those kinds of interactions?
Nope.
Oh, that's interesting.
And here's why. I've had actually many conversations about this recently. One of the things that in the last 5 to 6 years I've noticed with kids is that they have become, they're just, it's different. And every generation is different. So I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But in the last 4 or 5 years, kids have become more and more involved with social aspects of multimedia, video gaming, all of those things, Minecraft, whatever, that being online for them is so much more easy. And it's actually better for a lot of these kids because this is a medium that they're comfortable with and that they choose to be a part. I know my nieces, for example, didn't like being at school very much. They were constantly getting in trouble just for moving around, doing X, Y, and Z. And so as a result, you know, this has been better for them because they can kind of do things in their own way. They can engage in class, but then when they're able to check out, they can, and they can, they're able to do, you know, whatever they need to later that day. So I think that this gives some flexibility in that capacity.
That is super interesting. I never thought about it that way. I'm also interested to know about, what it's been like in terms of equity across the student body. Like, I mean, I know that a lot of schools and teachers are struggling with making sure that students have access to the internet, that they have good technology, hardware, the software that they need. What's that all been like?
Our district is the second largest in the state. So technology-wise, Chromebook-wise, we had enough. And we were able to use some resources that we had as well to be able to purchase more. So every kid that needed one got one. Unfortunately, as you all know, Chromebooks aren't the greatest and they have lots of limitations and some are blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, it's been pretty successful. Like being able to get the kids that need the Chromebooks, they've got them. Parents that need hotspots, if they were showing that they had just cause and that sort of thing, they've gotten what we can give them. I know local businesses like Comcast and whatnot have also helped out in this capacity to some degree, but obviously they're only so, they can only do so much because there's so many people that need that. I still believe that there's an inequity. I do believe that we have a disparity, and I'm really concerned about our Hispanic population here in Oregon, particularly where I'm at in Salem, because out of the kids who are not engaging actively in class, the majority would be of the Hispanic population. And I know also why. A lot of it has to do with the fact that some of these kids, they just, it's not a priority. And that's because they have to watch their brothers and sisters. They have to do X, Y, and Z at the home while their parent or parents, hopefully parents are both working, but most cases it's a parent, multiple jobs. Having worked with these kids like hands-on, I have nothing but respect for these parents. They're doing everything they can to be able to provide a room and a roof over their kids' heads, to be able to give them clothes and food. But I mean, they're doing the best they can, and they're having to work within a pandemic, and they're having to deal with things that are outside their control. And so some of those kids are just, they're not engaging. Some of the kids aren't engaging because they don't have technology. Some kids don't work well.
They don't have, tell me about that. What kind of technology are they missing?
Well, as we well know, some of the things that we have online that have like Adobe Flash and things like that, Chromebook can't use.
Okay.
So you have those limitations. You have like things that I know some teachers really like to use different apps and things like that in their classrooms. And some of the kids can't access those. They don't have the speed just in their broadband, or their computer can't handle that bandwidth.
Right.
There's so many different reasons for that. And so the reality is those kids are not getting that same education as a kid who has that broadband or who has that bandwidth. They're not getting the same, like the laggy. I hear this all the time. Oh, you're laggy, Mr. Decker. I know. So one of the things I created in my class was every assignment can be done without you ever having to see me once.
Oh, tell me about that. Tell me.
So if you went to my class and you went to my assignments, literally it is step by step. There's videos, there's questions that guide the video. There could be different websites where you're going to do research. There's examples of the research and how I paraphrased it. There's lots of different ways that I show the kids exemplars from what my kids have done in the past. So they have every way to be successful in my class.
Right.
Why, when I said earlier that I had really good success from day one, it's because I realized that I have to teach differently. And that's another aspect of teaching online. If we try to teach, and especially in some subjects, if you try to teach the way you did in the classroom, you're going to fail. You're going to beat your head against the wall. You're not going to get the kids turning assignments in. You're going to get them checking out because they're not having to be in class with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't teach to their level, then you're not going to get them. And you're not going to get them to pay attention. You're not going to get them to do the work. And they don't have to show their screens. They don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
can you give me an example of how you change your teaching? Maybe tell me about a specific successful assignment or something.
Yeah, sure. So I'm all project-based. Everything I do, I don't believe in testing. I believe in writing essays and using sources, the stuff that you're going to have to do in high school and college, particularly yeah. college, to be successful. Even if you don't go to college, these are skills you need to have regardless. So I basically, here's a perfect example. When I was in the classroom, when the kids got done with a unit, let's say we were doing the Dark Ages, the kids would pick specific things about that time period that they wanted to research. They would write anywhere between an 8 to 12 paragraph essay, cite sources. And then from that, they would then create what they've learned. And then they would do a 2-minute presentation, also showing what they made to the class and teaching them. And then the kids would have to take a 5-question quiz on what they learned from that student.
Okay.
And passed, that kid got an A for the whole project.
That's awesome.
And so take that now and apply that to what I'm doing online. You may be going, oh, Decker, how can you have the kids create stuff in your classroom? How can they do that? You know what? They did. What I did was I showed them example after example. I gave them videos that I found on YouTube and whatnot. And then they created, I let the Minecraft kids go crazy with Minecraft. The kids who do Fortnite, okay, I want you to use build mode, build me. I want to see this. And the kids did. And then they did presentations on what they learned. And so I had the exact same amount of student engagement. I had the same amount of kids turning the work in that I would in a brick and mortar classroom. Mm-hmm. And more importantly than that, I had my admin and I had other coworkers' minds blown at what we can possibly do with this platform. Mm.
Let's go back to something that you said a minute ago about some of the students who maybe because of responsibilities at home or whatever are not keeping up with the work. I'm interested in what the administration tells you in terms of like, how do you help those students? Do you get advice, support from the administration or not?
I mean, you can see my face right now, but
I can.
If you're listening, like I'm laughing right now. Our admin is like trying to keep their head above water.
Yeah.
Got 3 admin for, I don't know, 400 and some odd teachers in a platform they've never seen in their lives, managing people that are so diverse that they've never met in person. And then parents who are like, my kid can't get into Zoom or my kid can't log in or whatever. And, yeah. You know, they're doomed. Honestly, they're so screwed. And we all kind of are in our own ways. But honestly, I have nothing but love for admin right now.
Yeah.
No matter if they're good or not, like they're in a position that's insane. And they can't make anybody happy at this point. It's just about trying to make things work.
Right. Now,
I will say this. The message that we're getting is be positive. Be
optimistic.
Work with the kids. They're presenting a good front. We all know they're doomed. And privately, they're telling us this. But in staff meetings and whatnot like this, they're just like, you know, we all know. Give yourself grace, do what you can. They're not harping on us. They are not beating us down. I will give them all the credit in the world. They are working with us rather than against us. And that has been something in education. We all know we've had admin that works against us.
Right.
That's not happening right now. And that is at least the message in my district is work with everyone, regardless of their skill set, regardless if they're successful or not, just lift them up as much as you can, whatever ways you can.
Mm-hmm.
My interim assessment yesterday with my vice principal. And basically she's just like, what can we do to help you more? And you know, that's the thing that I think we need to hear more and more is that we've got somebody supporting us other than our families and our friends.
Right.
And that's a big thing that I'm hearing, at least in my district.
Mm-hmm. What about content? There's so much going on. There has been both with the election and with the pandemic. Have you incorporated any of that into the content?
Nope. And the reason being is in Oregon, we have, I mean, I can deviate, but the reality is that especially right now, with this election being so incredible, I mean, even right now, it's insane. It's so incredibly divisive. The last thing on earth I want to do is bring something divisive in my classroom.
Right.
It's not worth it. It's not. And I mean, I've worked, and it's ironic that I'm saying this because I just got awarded a fifth year being an Oregon Civic Scholar by State Representative Leon.
Right on.
Thank you. And I believe in civics. I believe in bringing state representatives in my class. Last 3 years, I've had my kids write bills, two of which have gone into law.
Well, I remember that from the other interview. Yeah. That's so awesome.
So that's what it's about for me. And I can't teach that stuff. Yeah. Can't. Honestly, it's about teaching what's in the curriculum, what the state mandated. Luckily, I'm enjoying it. I like teaching about Native Americans. I like teaching about like the Mesoamericans. That's fascinating and cool for me. And I can do a lot with that. Not everybody has that same, unfortunately, ability to have stuff they're excited about teaching. Hopefully they all do, but we all know that's not always the case.
Right.
So for me, I'm lucky. That's the bottom line. I get to teach what I love. I'm passionate about what I'm teaching. I'm sad I don't get to do some of the things I used to do, but because again, this is a shift and I have to look at what's best for my students right now. And I can only pack so much into their day. And I'm trying the best in my ability to never give them homework, have everything done in class. They turn it in, they feel successful, they're good, they're done. They don't have to worry about my class.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the past, when I've had the brick and mortar classroom, I could do more.
Right.
And I can't do those things now. So I guess ultimately it does take away a little bit of that, but at the same time, like, do I get to go on field trips now? Yeah, I do. I never got to go on field trips. We had no money for the last 10 years. I've gone on 2 field trips now.
Tell me.
One of them was in Mexico.
So how did the students know you were in Mexico?
Well, once I got there, field trip, But so, I had clearance the whole time. Like as long as I had internet, I could do it. So I used my hotspot on my phone and wasn't at the resort. I walked around and I had it with me. So we did some ruins, some Mayan ruins, which were dope. And then from there, I did an exhibit in Eugene, Oregon, University of Oregon, and they have a petroglyph thing going on there. So I showed them that and I had questions to guide and every class had to type in the answers as we were doing it. And then they submitted it at the end and we were done. They learned, they got to see it and they were there.
That is so awesome.
And if you don't, those of you hearing me right now, if you don't feel that smile on my face right now, like, it's there.
Yeah, really. It's there. Totally. Yeah. These are some of the positive things that have come out of this whole pandemic, right? These kinds of experiences that we never would have been able to give our students that.
But conversely, we also did the bad things.
Yeah.
Luckily, I haven't seen that with my sixth graders, which is now what I'm teaching, not seventh anymore.
Uh-huh.
But I know that we are seeing more and more suicide. We're seeing more and more kids because they're not engaged, especially at this like eighth grade high school level, that are feeling so disenfranchised and so disassociated with humanity that there's been a huge uptick in kids taking their lives.
I didn't know that, actually. I hadn't seen that news.
Yeah, you might want to do some research. Well, you don't have to, but I actually don't do research. It was only brought to my attention by actually my girlfriend's kids who are in college right now. And they're like, did you know? And I was like, really? Oh, so that makes sense. Because we do have that. And that's been one of the issues with people being on social media. We've seen that.
Right.
It's causing kids to take their lives. It's horrific. Yeah. And so now they're seeing it even more so because they're not being able to come in school and have any normalcy. All they're being is subjected to is that crap online, which is not real.
Right. But you haven't seen that.
No.
In your students. That's so interesting.
But then again, I think it depends on the kids too.
Yeah.
And depends on what their experiences are and what their parents' experiences will allow them to be a part of as well.
Right. Tell me about parents, what your interactions with parents have been this semester.
It's honestly, it's so weird. I would say the last 5-6 years, parent conferences, we'd see nobody. Nobody comes in. Wow. And we would just sit there and waste our time, especially in the spring. I might see, like, out of the 160, 70 kids I taught in the brick and mortar classroom, I would see maybe 25, 30 over the course of 2 days. And one day would be 12 hours of conferences. So you could come in anytime. Nobody came in. Fall was a little bit better, but not really. Things have changed. As I said before, our kids are changing. Our parents are changing. Everything is changing. And the evolution of that is really evident right now. And so I would say the engagement of parents is exactly the same as it was last year before the pandemic. I would say no difference. The parents who care, the parents who want to hear that their kids are doing great, the parents who do care about their kids struggling, they're the ones who still are coming. But the majority, they can see their kids' grades online. They see it real time. Why do they need to waste their time coming in and talking to somebody? So there's that also that I think movement away from humanity because of being able to see their grades real time. I think because parents have access to everything at any moment through their kids, whether it be apps, their school or whatever, that why would they come in if their kid's getting an A? And if they don't need to have me say that they're doing a great job as a parent.
Right.
They'd rather use a couple of hours to do something with their family or relax. And I respect that. So things have changed. Do I think that's a bad thing? Yes and no. But that doesn't really matter because the point being is it's not going to go anywhere. I think if anything, this is the trend. And I think it's going to continue more than it goes the opposite direction, going back to what we used to see.
I'm surprised that more parents didn't want to meet with you because they could do it through Zoom, that it would just be easier now than before. Well, that's interesting.
Parents have to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about the, cause you work for public schools, right?
I do.
Yeah. I do too. It's a community college, right on. Yeah. We are having we're facing some scary financial times.
Right.
I'm wondering if your district has talked about anything like that.
One of the nice things about Oregon is that we've put money aside for rainy day funds for just this emergency. I know my district is flush. That's why they were able to do some things this year. And we've also had some bond measures over the last bunch of years that have also helped us, but we're doing well. We've allocated our money. We've had some pretty good fiscal, I think, responsibility from our HR people or the people who are managing where the funds are going. At the same time, I haven't also gone on a field trip in 10 years. So maybe that's why. But the point being is we do have that money and we're not worrying about like losing teachers or anything like that. We're the second largest district. But
right.
What I would say and where you're coming from, and I think where other maybe listeners might be going, well, what about my district that has like one middle school and high school and two elementary schools? Yeah, you're in trouble. And community colleges, you're in trouble because that funding is based on tax dollars. And when people aren't paying taxes because they're not working, you are at a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really, really think that I know here in Oregon, we try to share the wealth so that even those smaller districts can be cushioned But I know not every state's that way. And that is a real heartbreaker for me, because I know that there's so many amazing teachers throughout the United States that teach in states that don't value education.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say those states.
But, you don't have to.
But they're up against it. And, yeah. And how can you really do your job to the best of your ability when you don't have your state supporting you, and then you have a pandemic, and then you're worried about, you know, your day-to-day?
Yeah.
It makes teaching even harder. And that's why I think we have this nationwide shortage of teachers.
Mm-hmm. I had a question in my head. So it sounds to me almost as if this has been a very successful experiment for you.
For me, yeah. The fact that I'm able to work with the kids and still have the same effect that I was having in the classroom, to be able to give 95 to 98% of what I was able to do in my classroom here, because I was already utilizing technology. I had a smart board in my classroom, so I was already utilizing a lot of those things. This wasn't a huge leap for me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting kids engaged, that's my job. And that's something that I have a skill set for, much like yourself, and why probably 90% of the people that go into teaching do. I do believe that for me, there's been a lot of positives. I also can only speak from my end, because luckily for me, I work in a state that supports me. I work with admin that supports me. I work with kids who are actually, you know, for at least my class, doing their jobs. That's been huge. I know that's not the case across the board. And so I don't want to paint a picture that's rosy and beautiful, because it's not. It's not that way for everybody. Am I lucky? Yes, 100%. Do I realize that? Yes. Is it partially because of my skill set? Yes. Is it partially because of just X, Y, and Z factors that are supporting me? Yes. And if I didn't have those, would I be as successful? I don't think so. So again, I think it's a perfect storm here, at least where I'm at in Oregon. But I know that there's many places, like I know in California, they support you guys. In San Francisco, particularly, education is incredibly important. And I know that the way that you're able to do the things that you're able to do in terms of giving kids curriculum and being able to teach at a pace and a rate that you are comfortable with, but also finding ways to utilize multimedia approaches and all that sort of thing is huge. And not every state allows that. Some states are still like, we want you to do these dittos and these books. So again, we're really lucky that we have that flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I think right now I just have to look at the positive. Are there negatives? Yeah. My platform that I'm teaching from is not the best. Do the kids sometimes struggle with using the technology? Yes. Do I have to teach things 4, 5, 6, 7 more times than I normally would have to in one day? Absolutely. But those are the things that we have to learn, and we have to be able to recognize those pretty quickly. And as professionals, we do. You know, you see, hey, this isn't working. You go back as teachers, we reflect, we redesign, and then we rebuild. And I think that's what we're all having to do right now. Are we having to do it, maybe some of us more than others? Yes. Are we having to do it more often? Yes. But it doesn't mean that the struggle is not there for all of us. It's just some of our struggles are maybe a little bit less than others. And again, I'm very thankful. And that's why if I am painting a positive picture, it's because there are positives. And I think that many people, including some of my colleagues, would not find it that way.
Mm-hmm.
After hearing this, they maybe go, okay, you know what? I get it. And the other thing is, we're on the same boat. You know, you, I, everyone that's listening, you know, we're all heroes. We are. We're all amazing. You, regardless of what you teach, regardless of the grade level, the fact is that you're willing to sacrifice something to be so noble as to help other people be better for themselves and for this world. You're all heroes, every single one of you, you know? And I think that's the thing that we need to take away from this, is that we all have our own stories. We all have had positives and negatives throughout this experience. But the fact is that we're all still doing it. And we're doing it to the best of our ability. And every one of you, regardless if you think you're failing or not, you're not. You're killing it. You really are.
Do you have a union?
Yeah.
Are you a member of the union?
Absolutely.
And what kind of messages have been coming from the union, and has the union had to work with the administration on anything like hours on Zoom or class size? Can you tell me everything about that?
I can give you a brief little rundown. Unfortunately, I just looked at the time. I have to leave in about a couple minutes, but I can do that.
That's fine.
So, Stephen, what our union has done is they've been great. They've really worked with our superintendent and whatnot. For example, I'll just give you the most recent. Grading this last Monday, Canvas and Synergy, which is our platform for grading, were not working. It basically shut down. And we had nobody in our district was able to do grades effectively. It was like there was so much lag time. Some things were crashing. And it was a whole day process. Well, the union got in and they renegotiated and they gave us next Monday to do the grades by. So it gave us this entire week to be able to work within that. The unions also said that because of where we're at right now with like kids turning in assignments this way at the very last minute, they would give us actually more hours on the weekend. So they would pay us for the hours that we worked while we were grading. So the union was doing all of those things for us. So yeah, our union's kicking some ass. Excuse my
language. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, I know you have to leave, but there is one thing that I have to do, which is I'm supposed to grab a screenshot of you. All right. Got it. Awesome. This has been fantastic. You are so enthusiastic. I love talking to you.
Oh, and, thank you.
You'll be getting a copy in the next day or so of this. And that's it. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to say once again, every one of you, if you're anybody that's listening to this, anyone, just know that we're all human. We're all in this together, you know, blue, red, whatever the heck you are, you know, independent, whatever, man. Just it shouldn't even be about that. And I don't know why I just said it, but because the election just happened, I think it's you guys, we're all brothers and sisters, and we're brothers and sisters in the noble profession of educating. And regardless of what your belief system is, regardless of who you are, color scheme, what your sexuality is, you're all absolutely amazing and keep killing it regardless of how you kill it. And I have nothing but the uttermost respect for each and every one of you. And Stephen, you're amazing. Thank you for being a community college professor. Keep killing it, my friend. And I hope you get the funding you deserve.
Thank you so much. Take care, James.
Take care. Bye-bye. You guys.